My name is Jason Levine. I'm the Executive Director for Perfect Pixels Media Group. We are an agency that focuses on interface design, branding, and strategy for our clients. We're based in Seattle, as well as in New York, Los Angeles, and Amsterdam. Today's talk is about marketing yourself as a brand and discovering your brand persona. I'm going to start with a slight bit of axe grinding, to tell you the truth, by introducing you to Hunter. He's my former boss at an agency I worked at in Los Angeles a while back, and he was a very interesting guy. He was German. He had a very articulate way of describing things. He was very precise in his nature, and clients just ate it up. I mean, everything he did, everything he said, received a lot of gravitas. And to tell you the truth, when I first started working for him, I was really excited. I thought I was going to find this very unique European point of view that was going to open my mind to a new set of paradigms that I wasn't aware of. There were many things that made Hunter the persona of Hunter. One being the rapidograph pen that he carried with him everywhere. And he'd always write on this graph paper. Never line paper, never on a sticky note. It was always this graph paper. And of course, there were these $650 Armani glasses that he would wear. And all of these things, when you combine them, made up how people perceived Hunter and his persona. And I'm calling it a brand persona because these things, when associated together, made you think of him as a German technorati, a hip trendsetter, and a smart with precision execution. The interesting thing, though, is that you'd combine all these things together, you'd expect some really great walloping output, and actually, there was no substance behind the style. When I would be assigned on projects, he would give me directions, and I would start to try to do them and realize they were contradictory or didn't make sense or weren't even possible. I just found that after a while, there was nothing behind it, and it worked on all facets. I mean, he would blow budgets out by changing his mind all the time because there was never a right decision. And the reason why was that he was creating this persona of a person that he was not. So he didn't have the actual capabilities that his persona represented him as being. Then there's Sam, another axe to grind. This one's a little bit different in the sense that I really have an affectionate feeling for Sam, who was a boss shortly after I got out of school many years ago. And he was an innovative software developer and owner. And we worked together for a few years, and my job was to come up with UI design for some of the products he was working with. And they were quite innovative. There were these software products for novices and for children and for people that were not very familiar with computers to create very powerful and fun photo effects for their photos. Now, there were things that made up his persona. Those would be the Birkenstocks that he wore every day, his Tandy computer with his, mind you, this was 1992, his CD drive that he was very proud of, and this hair. He had this hair that was large and curly that he would neglect to cut here and there quite a bit. Now, you combine all these assets together of his persona, and you immediately associate him as being very computer fluent, laid back. I mean, he was Australian, comes by nature, and quite kind. He's a very nice guy. The thing was is that we would try to create these great products, and then he would try to sell them, and we would end up finding that nobody actually would sign a contract. So he would go in front of Epson or in front of HP and come home empty-handed with this product that should sell itself. Lo and behold, months and months go by, and him being a nice guy, he decides to stay at home because his daughter was sick, and his cohort that was accompanying him on these meetings went alone. Lo and behold, they get the project, or they get the contract. And Sam was very excited, told him to go to the next one, which was also in Cupertino, and sign that one. So Sam shows up for the next one, and they don't get it. And this became a trend, that he finally figured out that the persona that he has doesn't work in a sales environment. Nobody wants somebody that comes off as a brainiac, except for the closer. He was great as the closer because they want to see the brain behind the machine, but they don't want this casual somebody that doesn't really look like they're buttoned up and taking themselves seriously as the face for negotiating a contract, or for negotiating a contract. So it worked against him. So where did they go wrong, both Hunter and Sam? And the answer is that they must discover their brand persona, and not only the brand persona, but how people interact with that persona. Because it has to be true, and it has to be something that people connect with. And to be specific, when I say brand persona, I mean what lies at the heart of one's business. And this can be in a person, as we just went over, or a company itself. And brand personas are very important. They create differentiation. Coffee beans are coffee beans. French fries are French fries. Beer, well, not always the same case. I happen to be a big fan of Left Blonde and Jarlsberg Dark. But other than that, I would say most beers taste like other beers. And there are hundreds and hundreds of companies marketing and selling these exact products over and over and over again, and somehow finding differentiation, even though the only thing you can do with French fries is put mayonnaise or ketchup or salt on them. And the differentiation is the brand, then the persona of that brand. And that makes your mouth water in a different way for each one. It also allows you to connect with others. Richard Branson had an incredible quote, amongst others. He was somebody that I used to work for as the creative director in 2001 when I lived in London. And this quote goes, "I've never been particularly good at numbers, but I think I've done a reasonable job with feelings. I'm convinced that it's feelings and feelings alone that account for the success of the Virgin brand in all of its myriad forms." That's because this man was a genius and realized early on that he could sell almost anything as long as it was true to his brand persona for Virgin. And that's because brand is not a logo. Even though I sell logos, and I don't mean to self-deprecate, it's not the logo that makes up a brand. It's not even the tagline, though we also do those very well. And it's not the product. All of these things help, but those are not the things that make up what is a brand. What makes up a brand is a relationship. The relationship that the customer has in their mind with that company. And that business helps make that brand and that relationship by nurturing it in all ways. And there, the best way to describe this is to say that there's a positive emotional connectivity between a business and customer for a good brand experience. Now, I'll give you a small example of this. When I did this presentation in front of an audience of 140 people not that long ago, I was preparing for it on my Mac, and it died. And this was 3 days before it was supposed to go. And I panicked, and I got angry that I had an Apple machine that was unreliable. I went to the Genius Bar near my house, and the guy saw the panic on my face. I told him I had a presentation, and he said, "I will get it done in an hour and a half for you." Now, I don't know about you. I've never heard of any company saying, "I will replace a motherboard for free in an hour and a half," except for a company like Apple, who understands that their brand is reliant on me saying great things about them, and I am now a lifelong customer of Apple because they did it in an hour and a half. So I forgot completely about how unreliable my Apple was. What I do remember was that Apple was willing to go to the mat to make sure my experience with that brand was going to fulfill what I had in my mind decided what that meant. And that was a creative company that cares about me. And they sure did it. Now, unfortunately, you don't get to see a video since this is just a slideshow, but there's a video that is associated with this slide. And you can go to my blog at blog.perfectpixels.com to see it. But the key thing was that there's a study done by Duke University, and it flashed these subliminal messages within these box for a number of people, subjects tested. And what they found was that people that were subliminally flashed the Apple logo actually had a different visceral reaction in later tests, in that they actually were behaving more creatively. Whether or not they were a Mac user, if they saw the Apple logo versus an IBM logo, they actually, when they were asked to come up with ideas for something else, were more creative. And that's because a brand persona does not just live within the company, it lives within its customers and those that interact with that brand. It's a very, very important thing, because that's what makes all brands have life. That's why, though Volvo will never do it because they are a car company, if they ever sold a car seat, you don't need to think about it. You know that when you buy that car seat, it's going to be safe, because that's what they're all about. And that's because brand is a perception, and it's the perception in the mind of your customer that is relevant with who you are and what you do. So there are many facets to a brand, and we're going to focus on a few of the key ones. And the first one and most important one is having a point of view. Now, the example I'm giving of a point of view is JetBlue. They are a fantastic airline company because they've realized that the experience of traveling from one point to another is a horrendous experience. From ordering the tickets to getting in line for security to check-in to sitting on the plane and having your headrest knocked into your forehead, everything is full of anxiety. So they have made it their mission, their point of view is anxiety management. And that facilitates itself in everything they do. They make sure that that is what they're focusing on. So when you get on that plane or when you buy that ticket, you are being treated with the idea of removing that anxiety. So, how do you find your point of view? The first question is the most obvious. Who are you? What do you do? But the key one is, why does it matter? This is your differentiator. It's important to think to yourself, what is it that I do that's special? What is it that I do that people think of that makes me the one they pick versus my competitor? Why does it matter? And it's important to spend some time introspectively to find that answer and be true to yourself about that answer, unlike Hunter. So one of the examples that we have is for Alpha Graphics. They are a printing company, and they do kind of like Kinko's, but on a larger scale, with big printing jobs as well as small copy jobs. So they have copy offices as well. And they came to us to do some branding work and UI design. And we came up with this concept because of their point of view. And their point of view is all about having high touch with their customers, because they have these large print jobs and they want to make sure that these people are given all the sort of resources necessary for them. And the interesting thing that we've decided to take advantage of was the name Alpha Graphics. So Alpha in Greek means first or one. And so we thought, well, you're a high touch company with your customer. Let's make that, you are treating your customers number one. customer alpha. So we created an entire campaign around this concept. Brand facet 2. Be obsessive about your presentation. Now this has to do with everything and anything about your presentation. What you're wearing, what you say on the phone. Like, I don't say, hey, how you doing? I say, Perfect Pixels, this is Jason. Because there's no reason to have a casual manner if that's not supposed to be part of your brand. So you need to make sure that everything you do, your business cards, your tone of your voice, are all representing this obsessive control of how you want yourself to be perceived to your customer. So this is a pretty interesting one that we had done for ourselves as an example, and that was when we were deciding on, as our presentation, our office space. So originally I was given an offer for half a floor on the 14th floor of a downtown office in Seattle, and I was very excited about the idea. It was going to be this huge office with lots of windows and a giant conference room, and I was going to have a corner office, and it was air conditioned. It was just gorgeous. And I couldn't help but leave thinking, this is a cube farm. Do I really want this message? And I kept going back and forth saying, well, it would be nice to have something that people walk in and say, wow, these guys look like they're worth about $200 an hour. But what I came to the realization on was, that's not the message I want to leave with people. The presentation I want to give is creativity. So we picked a dump. You know, it's not a dump, but it feels like a dump compared to the Skyline office. And that's because we wanted something that really represented our creativity. So we found this funky 120-year-old building that we were able to modify with wood floors and put some glass in, and had a really great time. And literally everyone that goes in that office that's coming to meet with us is impressed and loves the space. And it isn't air conditioned. It doesn't have a grand foyer, and it doesn't have even an elevator. But that's not what it takes to represent your brand. What it takes to represent your brand is fulfilling what you are about. In our case, it's creativity. So there's also some easy ways for companies that are smaller or just getting themselves started, or even just a company of one. And that's to represent yourself as bigger than you are, or at least more professional than you are, by having some of the key tools that most larger businesses have. And those include having a voicemail system, and GotVemail is a great one, where it's all handled over the web, and you can set up forwarding and voicemail, and it forwards to your email address, and it can handle multiple extensions. It's really great. And there's also faxing and conference lines that that almost everybody should have, and having a web-based fax is actually really nice, because that way you can send things via your computer. Having project management and collaboration tools are very important. We use Basecamp. And then there's the person-to-person tools of Yugu for screen sharing is the one we use, and Skype for video conferencing, and Twitter for keeping people up to date that we like in our network. So this one, unfortunately, you can't see the video for this, but this is a fascinating something that IDEO had done. And this was for a client in Minneapolis. IDEO is a ergonomic and interior design company. And they were hired by this Minneapolis medical group, and they were asked to describe to find out ways of answering some of the needs for their customers at their medical facilities. So what they did was they literally shot 5 minutes silence of ceiling, and that was their presentation. So they go in this boardroom with these medical execs and just show this QuickTime video for 5 minutes straight of a camera sort of wandering, looking at a ceiling. And then at the very end, they showed it was a patient holding a camera, and that pretty much said it all. And it's funny is that it seems so obvious. Your customer is that guy sitting in your bed. But what they think of as your customer is the one holding their brochure deciding on which medical facility to use. So we did this in a completely different way by using the same concept of the audience being part of defines your brand persona. And that was for Wild Tangent, where we created personalized UI for each type of user base. So when you're a returning user based on your age group and your gender, you would have a different association with that brand by co-branding it with other products that Wild Tangent was selling. They sell video games. So the one in the forefront is for young girls, and then the one behind is for older men, between 25 and 40, I believe. So the idea was that you make the brand interact with the actual audience. So we took it a little bit further because we had the advantage of technology. The final facet that we're going to talk about is branding needing to be consistent. Now, I apologize, I stole this slide. I was running out of time, didn't replace it since then. So if you recognize this slide from another slide share, I apologize to whoever that author was. It was in the sake of time, we were running out. Anyway, point being is that this was a very important message. Love what that guy did, and that was to say branding needs to be consistent. So I'm going to up the ante by actually giving an example of that means from the slide that I found that on the SlideShare. And that was for Jewish Family Services. They're a local community site organization. And they do all kinds of community outreach programs for everyone from homeless people to senior citizens to young families. And what we told them is that the consistency is not about having the same photo and your logo. The consistency is having the same message. And in this case, the message was community and inclusiveness. So all the photos, all the styles of the photos, all the subject matter of the photos was about inclusiveness. And so the color system, the openness, the interaction of the people in the photos were all saying this message. And that's what it means to be consistent and not that you have the same logo in the same spot on every page. So that's it. This is actually a subset of a larger presentation. And I appreciate your time. If you have any questions at all, I'd be happy to answer them. You can find out more at perfectpixels.com or check out our blog at blog.perfectpixels.com. Thank you, and hope to hear from you. Bye.